General Meeting, Columbus, September 1969, Gospel by John Boyd.
Now, I want to ask a question. I don't hardly ever ask anybody to hold up their hands. No, I never did think too much of that. But I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to do that. And if there's a Jew in this room, I want you to hold up your hand. Well, there must not be one. In my 20 years of preaching at the jail, as far as I know, I've never preached to a Jew. Many times I've asked that question, is there a Jew in here? Hold up his hand. Now, what I'm going to read to you from Ephesians 2 applies to the Gentiles. And that's what we are. You said you were. They ain't but just the Jew and the Gentile. So, here's what we are. Ephesians 2, beginning verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by that which is called a circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of the temple. Now let's turn back to Romans 10. Romans 10, I believe it. This in what I read is the first verse that ever I learned to memorize when I started telling people about the law. I'm sure all these little boys and girls know it. It won't be the first verse I'll read, but Romans 10. I begin with verse 8. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek or Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, this is quite a bit of scripture, and I'll try to get over it. But the first thought was in Ephesians that where were we? Now our brother, the first night, read to us from Galatians 5, and he brought out to us from Galatians 5, and of course this is telling about those that seeking to keep the law or do something to be saved. Now you young children are living in an age and time when that's told you from every side that you've got to do something to be saved. Yes, you have. You've got to do something. No. Yeah. And keeping of the law was certainly a doing something for salvation. Yes. Under the law, salvation was, in a sense, upon a marriage platform. They had to keep this and do that and do this and do that. And if they kept the law, they lived. That's right. My father used to say, son, you can look around about you and see how many's kept the law, because it's still been living. Sure would. They had kept it from the day they brought it down off Mount Sinai. They'd have still been in good health. And still been living. Sure was. They're gone. I'm going to tell you about one tonight. Don't depend on it. So, he read to us here, and I'm looking for the verse, Christ profit you nothing. Christ is become unto them none effect. That's it. Yeah. Come unto them none effect. Profit to nothing. Yeah. Now, so I just thought of that verse as the brother brought it out. None effect. Yes. Christ would be of no effect to it. What a sad thing it is when Christ becomes of no effect to anyone. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. What a sad thing. So, we go back now to Ephesians 2, and Paul here reminds those in Ephesians where they were at one time, and that's where you were, and that's where I was. Now, we like to look at ourselves as upright, moral, respectable people, which we are, yeah. But that's not salvation. Oh, no doubt. There was plenty of these Gentiles that live is moral and upright and respectable. temple as the Jews did. Yeah. But they were without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world. What a sad, sad thing that would be, to be without Christ, without God, and without hope. Now, you may be here tonight without Christ, but you've got a hope. You sure have. You sure have got a hope. And the day of grace is open. The door of grace is open. And you can enter in now. You really can. We may not tomorrow. That door may swing too. Before the day dawns tomorrow. Certainly would. And now that's the possession that you and I as Gentiles were in. Till when? You say, well, when we were in that, when we were before, God sent his dear beloved Son down from the heights of glory. There he came here, grew up into manhood, and went to the cross of Calvary. Yes. There shed his own life's blood, just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Yes, that's what he wanted to do. That's how much God loved you. And that's how much Christ loved you. That's right. Oh, I'll tell you, dear one, you'll never know how much God loved you. What Christ paid for you. Till you're home in the glory with him. If you refuse him down here, you'll never know. Never know. Oh, what a sad thing. One of the most solemn things in the world is to hear about these wrecks, these lives that are snuffed out just that suddenly. Going down the highways at high rates of speed, dashing into telephone poles and head-on collisions into eternity just that quick. And you know they didn't know Jesus. What a sad thing. What a sad thing. They're then truly without hope. But that was mine, your position, before the Lord Jesus came down here. Yes. Yes, he was. I'll take this little time. I read this story two or three years ago. It was in connection with one of the states in the Northwest that does not have capital punishment. But when the prisoner draws a life sentence, there is no law for him to be released. He's there all of his life. There's no way. Now this has been going on for some 20 years almost now. They've got men there that they have to guard. They're too old to work now. One man was a millionaire when he went in. He's worth $2 million now. He has spent $1 million while he's in there trying to get out. He's no nearer out now than he did when he went in on the time. And they have to keep him under constant watch to keep from committing suicide. There's no hope for him to get out. They're just in an earthly prison. Now that was one of the situations that we were in before Christ came down and went to the cross of Calvary. We were without God and without hope. Yes. Oh, yes. But the Lord Jesus wants. Now I want to bring two words, one word tonight. I just thought of this one word. We cut loose from all the promises of Israel. That's why I asked what the Jew did. That verse wouldn't apply to him, see. No, he had some hope in him. The Jew had a hope. Yeah, there it is. And a Gentile, make no difference how he associated with a Jew, he never did become a Jew. No, he didn't. Sure didn't. He was a Gentile. Or he might come in on the blessings. And he did, no doubt. Sure. And he did. Yeah. We can quickly cite your room, can't you?
You can. Yeah. But he was always a Gentile.
Wow. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Far off. What is it talking about? Far from God. Far from God. That's where you were. All we know that they had heathen temples. You know the woman in the well, at the well in the 4th of John said, our fathers worship in these mountains. You say Jerusalem's the place to worship. Now where is the place? Where is the place? It's confusion. Yeah, they had temples, but they had idol temples. Yes, they had stone, wooden, brass gods, what the likeness. But I'll tell you tonight about one that's alive. Yes. That's what our brother Smith thought to bring before you last night. That we had a living Savior. We had one that has risen from the dead. One that's seated at God's right hand in the glory. Yes, that's the kind of Savior you can have tonight. Yes. So, we find far off are made nigh. How? What does nigh mean in anything? That's the word I want to bring out to you, children. Yeah. What does nigh mean? Well, it means close, you know.
Close up.
Yeah, if I was nigh unto Brother Bill, I'd be right close up to him. So now you've been brought close to God. Yeah. You've been brought in reaching distance from God. Sure have. How have you been brought there? By the good works, moral living, uprightness? Oh no. Now that's what the law failed to do for us. Right? What the law fails to do by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. That's how. No other way. Brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, dear ones, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the supreme price for me and for you. We could talk about the raising of the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the sick, raising, feeding the 5,000, on and on and on. I read in the book the other night how many miracles the Lord performed while he was here on earth. I forgot it. But it was way up yonder, a whole lot more than I thought it was. How many miracles the Lord performed. Yeah. But if he had went back to the Father, other than the way of the cross, we tonight would have still been without God and without hope. Yes, we would. Yes, we would. You hear an awful lot, he's fine too, about the works of the Lord and what he did here. Yes, well, it's nice and lovely. Yes. John's gospel says, speaking of the works of, you read the last chapter and the last two verses, you'll find he says, don't suppose the world contain all the books.
Right.
I tell you, dear ones, we're made nigh to God by the precious blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. And it's God of whom we have sinned against. God is one that had to be satisfied as to the question of sin.
I stand here tonight and smile and tell you, I'm satisfied.
That's what dear Brother Larson used to say. God is satisfied with the work of Christ. Now you want me to finish telling you what the rest he'd say? And you will have to be satisfied with it. If you're not satisfied with the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did for God, you'll wind up in a devil's hell.
Personally,
God is satisfied with you. What a wonderful thing. Yes. Made now by the blood of Christ. The blood the Lord Jesus Christ shed brought us nigh unto God. In the morning's meeting, so often is the portion read in the Gospels where the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. 27th of Matthew 1 verse. Yes. That veil was rent from the top to the bottom. I read an article once that it took, that veil was so thick, so strong, that it would take two yokes of oxen, putting them there to tear it apart. Yes. That made an entrance wide open into the presence of God. Not for the Jews, for the Jew too, but for whosoever will. Right. That takes in me, and it takes in you. Here it is. Whosoever on it may not. So, we might turn back now to the other portion that we have. Now we have this word nigh again. I'll begin leaving off the first four words. The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth. The word, what word? The words that God through the Holy Spirit puts upon your own lips and your heart to receive Christ as Savior. You can't get any closer than that. You can't get any closer. Yes, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, the word of faith which we preach. Yes. Paul had been preaching to them the word of faith. That's right. Paul wasn't going around telling them about the good deeds that he was doing, how he had taken up collection and helped the poor saints at Jerusalem, and many other different things that he'd done, no doubt. Oh no, he was telling them about the Lord Jesus, the thing. Anyone preach any other gospel? And he did. Oh yeah. Oh no. So, the word is nigh unto thee. Now there's not hardly any of these little boys or girls here that wouldn't know what to do to be saved tonight. Yes, you would know. You've heard it all your life, almost. I've told this before, and it's to my shame. I knew what to do to be saved when I was 12 years old. Yes, I consciously believe I could have told someone if it asked me what to do to be saved. But knowing what to do to be saved won't save. Knowing what to do would keep people out of jail. I'd have to preach to empty cells. They know what to do, but they don't do it. That's right. I was 25 years old when I was saved. Oh. I'll thank God many a day for sparing me that other 12 years. Yes. But the word was not all that time. Look what I missed. You can't go back and make it up. No, children, don't put it off. You can't make it up. There's no such thing. It's gone. As I said to you a moment ago, God does not hold out salvation to anyone in the past. It's gone. It's gone. Now, let me cite you to one who had the word in his mouth. When the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, he was crucified between two thieves. That's right. Apparently, stealing was capital punishment of the Roman government. It's capital punishment now. Sure would depopulate the people fast, wouldn't it? Lord. So, on that cross, they nailed the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus. And they nailed the hands and the feet of the two thieves too. They were nailed there. But you know, they forgot to nail one other thing of one of those thieves. They didn't nail his tongue, did they? Didn't nail his tongue. He couldn't do nothing. He couldn't do a thing. He had his hands nailed and his feet. So there was no chance for him to do something for salvation. Not a thing in the world. They said, now you get down and go over yonder and you'll be all right. Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't talk to him. He couldn't. He was absolutely helpless. And no doubt Satan said, well, I've got them there. You're right. But they forgot to nail his tongue. And he looks over to the Lord Jesus and says, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, we know this. And that was enough said. He didn't have to tell the Lord that he was a sinner. He didn't have to tell him he was dying for violating the law. The Lord knew all of that. The Lord knows all about you. Oh, just own to you that you're a sinner. Just tell the Lord you're taking. Oh, yeah. Do you know that you're a sinner? Just tell the Lord you're taken. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's all. And so, those beautiful words, and it's often been said, was the first man that ever left this world, knowing when he was going to leave, where he was going, and who he'd be with when he got there. And I'll tell you right now, if you're without Christ tonight, you can know two of those things. That's right. You'll know two of them. You'll know the third when you leave. But you'll know where you're going and who you'll be there when you get there. Who you'll be with when you get there. What a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus said to those 11 in the upper room in the 14th of John, he didn't come back and receive them unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, you're going into heaven and be with the Lord. Be with the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Why? Because he owned the Lord as Lord. Yes. If thou shalt that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. As I said a moment ago, that's the first verse that I memorized many years ago when I started out. And I suppose Joe remembered in Calvary in the men's prayer bed. I don't forget that. So, and you know, it was a long time I couldn't understand it at first. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, mouth is language. Right. That's why you know what I'm saying. That's why you know what I'm thinking about. Is because I'm a working my mouth up here. This is an expression of language, thought going out. But it is. Dear old brother Hayho said to me one time, it was one of the helpless things he ever said to me, in Mrs. Dashwood's home down in Atlanta. He said that language is the only vehicle upon which thought can travel. It's a poor vehicle. Yes. Right, and that's right. I might talk on my fingers, I might talk in many different ways, right? But it's language. And that's what the mouth speaks to us about, is language. And so, that's how we make our thoughts known. And that's what you confess to God. Yes, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things in the world to do when you talk to one about the Lord Jesus, he'll tell you he'll weep and all of how he wants to quit this and be relieved of that and how he wants to be saved and go to heaven and live a new, clean life and all that. And you'll ask him, will you take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? And right there's where he bogs down. No, he won't take it. He won't do it. He will not confess the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, dear ones, if you're here tonight, it makes no difference of how many pretense you've made. Right? You're not fooling God. No, you're not. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. What a wonderful and glorious thing it is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead. As I said a moment ago, that's what dear brother Smith brought before us last night, that he was raised from the dead. And oh, that's still denied till today that the Lord Jesus is not rose. Yes, the Lord is not rose. You read Matthew, you'll find the record there, and it tells you this reason. Commonly reported unto the day. That it is commonly reported unto the day that he's not risen. And Paul tells us if he's not risen, we're still in our sins. Oh, what a sad thing it is. If you're in your sin, you're still lost. You're lost. Thank God. He's seated at God's right hand in the glory. There to make intercession. For who? For you, if you are receiving the Savior. For those that have received the Savior. Oh, I tell you, we've got a wonderful Savior. We've got a blessed Savior. Yes, we have. Sure have. And he's yours for the having. He's yours for the having. Now we must go on. And for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that's a simple statement. Yes. Now, just the other day, Brother Smith sought to make a statement here as just what the heart of man wants. But I'm just a little bit hard of hearing, and he's just a little bit of soft talking, and I didn't get just exactly what he said. I meant today to ask him, yes, what is the heart of man? Well, it goes beyond the blood pump that's in us, I'll say that. Oh, there's many definitions in it, but we know what it is, so we sure do. The heart. The innermost part of you. The real part of you must receive Christ as Savior, not the unreal part of you. That's right. All right. Believe in thine heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now you've heard the expression, oh well, he's just sort of half-hearted. Well, what is it? He's just not anywhere. He's just sort of half-hearted. Yes. Oh, no. God don't want no half-hearted people. He's not going to have it. He must have it all. Yes. Jesus paid it all for it. He'll have it all. Yes. So just turn it all over to the Lord. Yes. Believe it. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I know there has been people that has really took the Lord as Savior, and for the sake of not being shamed about it from some folks, maybe some in the family at home, they don't want to let it be known. But you'll never have the joy of your salvation until you confess it. No, you won't. And if there's one of you boys or girls here tonight that has taken Jesus as Savior and sort of keeping it a secret, don't do that. Oh, no. Confess it. And enter into the full joy of it. You know what is said about it? The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Well, if the angels are going to rejoice over it, what about the Lord himself? Oh, yes. Now, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Well, now, this was another verse that sort of bothered me for a good long while. Yeah? You know, I've been in situations where I was just a little ashamed to just stand right up for the Lord. And no doubt there's many other in this room that's been in the same fix. And you miss a blessing when you sort of pull back, you know, a little bit and be quiet when you order or have a testimony or say a word for the Lord. Well, that's one little small illustration of it. But you know the real time that you'll not be ashamed? As when the Lord comes. The Lord comes for his own. And at the great white throne judgment, you'll not be ashamed there. Now you'll not stand there to be judged. Don't misunderstand me. I don't want somebody that. But I believe that all the believers will view the great white throne judgment. Yes. Believe they'll see it. And you won't be ashamed. No, you'll be rejoicing. You'll be rejoicing. We might go into scriptures for that, but we haven't got time. But here's where we got. We'll not be ashamed. You'll always be glad you took Jesus' Savior. Yes, sir. Regardless of what happens to the world or what happens to the sinner, you'll rejoice at the fact that you took Jesus. And in heaven, in the glory, there's nothing there to ever shame you. People ask the question about the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, no, no. Oh, sin question is settled at the cross. Right. No. Not at the great white throne, it's not settled. The sin question is only settled at the cross. Here's what my father used to say to me. Ed, it's a white throne. It was read here the other night. The white throne. 20th chapter of Revelation 21. Yeah. At the cross is where the blood was shed. Red. The crimson. But that's where mercy is. Is that the the blood is for the mercy. But at the great white throne is righteousness. It's a white throne. There's no blood there. Don't look for any mercy there. If you go out of this world without the Lord Jesus, don't never look for mercy. Oh, it's not coming. No, sir. God in mercy sent his Son to a world by sin undone. Yes, he did. God in mercy did that. But he's not going to send him back no more. The next time this poor world will see him will be at the great white throne or be in judgment. Sure will. When the sinner that dies without him sees him, it'll be at the great white throne. I won't get myself a little straight. Too many appears. Now, shall not be ashamed. Now we find that we're over in the day of grace. Now we're not, we're the cross. We're this side of the cross. And here we have from this verse, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. Salvation is unto all. Right. Whosoever believeth. Right. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It's under all. But I want to tell you, it's only upon those that will receive him. That's right. Only upon those that will receive him. Right. It's held out. Held out to all. That's what dear old Brother Ryan used to say. God is holding it out to all. Yes. Holding it out to you. It's up to you to receive it. There may be a store downtown tomorrow that would say that every customer come into this store on a certain day, they'll receive a door prize.
doesn't necessarily say that everybody in that town got a door prize. It's just only those that went in that door.
That's right.
Went in that door. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved. He didn't say, I'm the door, and everybody's coming in and get saved.
Oh, no, he didn't say that.
Now, come on. And I've often said, and I believe it to be true, that you go into heaven, single file. One by one, goes through that door. I want to say to you tonight, if you haven't been through that door, don't miss it. Standing wide open to you tonight. Standing wide open to you. Tomorrow night it'll be closed much tighter than them two are closed right now. Every dear child of God in this room tonight, I believe, is looking for the Lord. Listening for the shout. Then it's when the door of grace will swing to. Swing to. And it'll never, never open again to mankind as it is open right this moment. It'll never open. Never will. If you miss going in at that door, you've missed it for an eternity. You sure have. Oh, yes. There never has been, there never will be, another day of grace. You are privileged through the mercies of God, I too, to live in this wonderful age of the day of grace. Yes. When you can, regardless to your sinful life, makes no difference of how far one has gone down into sin, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse it. Your brother Wright used to say, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from A-double-L all sin. All sin. But it's not the question of how big a sinner you've been, how little of sin you've been. It's not the question. That's what people think. It's the question. Whether I'm not too big a sinner. I ain't been too bad. This is just my third time in here. That's right. Yeah. Looks like you didn't get to be a sinner until you got in there about five times, you know. That's right. Yeah. No, it's your sin you come short of the glory of God. And how sad it is to look into the face of these children here tonight. Thank you for the Lord you come, that some of them could be left behind. Oh, what a sad, heartbreaking thing that is. But if they don't know Jesus, they'll be left behind. That's sad. Sad. Sure is. Yeah, if you saw an old man who'd gone on in sin, stooped in it for many years, you wouldn't think so bad about it. Well, he had come to it. Yeah. Now we must go on. But God is rich unto all. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yes, God is rich to you. We like to think about rich folks, riches. Yeah. Sure do. Speaks of plentiful. Yeah. That's what it says here. And is rich unto all that call upon him. Have you called on him? Have you called on him? The poor, dying thief on the cross of Christ. Oh. In the most helpless position that one could get in. But he took the opportunity. The What about the other one that didn't? The difference in heaven and hell is not how good I've been or how bad I've been. It's do I know Jesus or do I not? Have I took the Lord Jesus as Savior or have I just passed it by? It's the difference.
Sure.
Jesus is the difference. Amen. Now, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. Well, I'll go back again to the thief. Now this thief saw, he admitted to the other thief, that we are both in the same condemnation. But this man had done nothing. He owned that he was a sinner. He owned that he had justly received what he was receiving. Yes. He owned that. And that's what you have to do. Own to God that you are a sinner. For the scripture says, Christ died for sinners. Christ died for sinners. That's what he did. So, there's one here tonight. Just own to God your sin. Oh, I know Satan will do everything possible again to keep you from doing that. I've told this before. Many years ago when I started preaching the gospel, my dear brother in the meeting, he was giving me some good instruction. And he said, now, John, whatever you do, don't stand up and point your finger to the people and tell them they're sinners. I said, brother, what am I going to tell them? I'm going to tell them. Well, thank God, and a dear brother Clark from Atlanta, Georgia, stood up there in the meeting in Rome and pointed his finger at me and told me I was a sinner. That's right. Christ died for sinners. I want to tell you something else and just keep you seated. There will be, other than heavenly beings, nothing in heaven but sinners. But washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Right. I know they won't be called sinners and they won't be looked at it up there. Right. Sinner washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Sure. I wish I had time to tell you, but I haven't got time to tell you about being ashamed of being a sinner. It's no disgrace to be a sinner because you've got a Savior. It's an awful thing to be a rejecting sinner. Be a lost sinner. That's right. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Thank God for it. There, I'm not a lost sinner. Oh, yeah. So, whosoever calleth upon the Lord, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Yes. Shall be saved. If you're here tonight and don't know Jesus, call on him. He has an ear listening for you. Yes, he is. May we sing number 4. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by his grace I am free.
Christ is